How did Dennis Sloan get involved in the wrestling business?
It's kind of a funny story. I went to an Evolve show, or back in the day with Dragon Gate USA.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of the New York indie companies were really, really terrible. Like, it was just a bunch of mismatches, ticket sellers. Like, they weren't that good. When I went to Dragon Gate, it was amazing. Like, Gabe and Sal run an awesome company. And there was a guy, Brian XL, and he was handing out flyers for his promotion, House of Glory. And he was saying how they're number one in New York. And, you know, I was a fan, so I went off the internet saying how he's trying to, like, panhandle and, you know, just mocking him. You know, just having fun.
Mm-hmm.
So at an Evolve show later on down the line, I was at a show with my friends, and he came up to me and he was like, "Hey, are you Dennis Long?" And I'm like, "No, I had no idea who he was because he cut off his braids, so he just had the regular haircut."
Uh huh.
So he's like, "I want to talk to you outside." I was like, "Well, I paid $20 for my ticket. I'll come out during intermission." And he says, "All right, pussy." And, like, I was just flabbergasted by it. I was like, "Oh, wow, this guy's really, he's upset about something." So during intermission, he was outside. So I went up to him. I was like, "All right, let's go talk." So I guess he didn't think I was actually going to show up. So he said that I was talking shit about him on Facebook, and he wanted to fight me. And I was like, "You're willing to do this outside of a venue, outside of a company like this? Like, that's kind of stupid. Like, as a promoter and as a wrestler, you're supposed to expect to take some kind of flack from fans. Like, you're supposed to no-sell it." And, you know, I explained to him it was Facebook, it was for entertainment. You know, I didn't back down from him in any way. And, you know, we were cool. Then the very next day, he had a show, and the Young Bucks with it, and the old Bullet Club teacher. So I figured, fuck it, I'm just going to show up. So I showed up. And he had his match with AR Fox, and I guess during his entrance, he sees me and he points to me. And during intermission, he comes up to me and he's like, "Yo, let me talk to you." I was like, "All right, cool, let's talk." He's like, "You got some balls. I like that. You're welcome to come to my shows whenever you want from now on." And in my head, I'm like, "Wow, that's really cool." You know, we were able to squash things like, man. So after the show, he's telling me how they're booking their heavyweight title tournament. And I was like, "Oh, that's cool. Hopefully you're going to bring in this guy. You're going to bring in this guy." He's like, "What, you want to be a booker or something?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, it's always been a dream of mine to get involved with wrestling in one way or another."
Mm-hmm.
And thing I ended up Facebooking him, like, brackets for a show, using some students, using some names. And I booked their entire next show.
Wow.
I'm at their wrestling school with him, hanging out, being in the office. You know, it was pretty much one day to the next as a wrestling champ, and then the end of business, and I kind of owe it all to him, which is kind of ironic because he hates me now.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what happens when you become, you know, competition opposed to, you know, brotherhood.
So how do you go from being like this surprise, this, like, you know, kind of like indie darling, like up and coming, you know, booker for House of Glory, and how does that all fall apart, and how does Tier 1 start?
Well, you know, I love being a booker there, like assistant booker, as he liked to say. Like, I loved helping the students come up with storylines. Like, Ken Broadway, he was supposed to be like the Floyd Mayweather of House of Glory with his entourage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really awesome. I was told, like, some of the students wanted to listen to Red, some of them wanted to listen to me, and I was told, like, I was separating the school, and they didn't want me in the school anymore. And I was like, "All right, you know, that's fine." And there were so many times where I wanted to quit, and I did quit, and I would, you know, Facebook Brian or call Brian, and, like, you know, within 20 minutes, he would come to my house and talk things out, and, you know, here I'm still, you know, without Glory. But I think it was right after he won the championship for his own company, and I thought it's in bad taste if you run a company and you're a wrestler and you're a champion. I just think it's, I don't know, the fans will see right through it. Like, you can't brag about being a champion if you run your own promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nothing against him. And it was my time to leave. Like, you know, I did all I could for, I think I was there for like 2 years or so. Like, they just started running at a Club Amazura. And, you know, they were doing well for themselves. Mm-hmm. I helped get Ewan Theo booked there, even though he told me that they weren't a draw. Like, he said that Pac-Man and Andy V. Ray were better. And I kind of laughed at them. I helped get Silent Finesse booked. But unfortunately, Rob got injured and he retired. Like, there were a lot of guys that I helped along the way there. Yeah, so, you know, I left right before their Mankind show. The only match that I booked was Ken Broadway versus Alex Mason. Mm-hmm. And me and Alex were pretty good friends. He lived on the corner from me. I saw a lot of potential in him. And, you know, they didn't think that they were ready yet. Me and Larry Dallas got Alex Mason and Ken Broadway Evolve pre-show match. And, you know, everything was great. And Brian Rett said that they weren't ready. And I thought that was scumbaggish of them. Because what, take an opportunity like that away from them. Like, you know, they could go out there wearing the House of Glory t-shirts representing the school, getting more students, which means getting more cash flow into the school. And they took that away from the kids. I remember Ken calling me up crying, like he was so happy for the opportunity. Same thing with Alex. And one day to the next, like, you know, they weren't ready, so they're not going to have a match. But, you know, I remember Brian XO having an Evolved six-way match, and he was botching all over the place. Same as Earl Cooter was in, and he was botching all over the place. So, I mean, you can't say your students aren't ready if you're not ready. So, you know, I left, I think, like 3 weeks before All Mankind. Mm-hmm. And I was happy to be out of the business. Like, I was good moving on with life because I got to be a part of the business. I didn't need it. I wanted to be there. Mm-hmm. And then I took time off. Like, you know, I took pen to paper and I was like, wow, how would I do things different? What if I could do it myself? And it was a pipe dream. And then I met a guy named Frank Marcel, a.k.a. Lorenz Dean. Mm-hmm. And he told me that he used to run Pro Slam World with House of Glory and how Brian screwed him over and all this nonsense. Like, he did a YouTube video of me, like, pretty much, like, slandering my name. Yeah. Pretty much everything that he said about me was what he was saying about them. And it makes no damn sense. I was like, just let it be. Sure, I had some bitterness towards House of Glory, but nothing to the point where I hated them, because I still, you know, I was thankful for them giving me that platform, that opportunity to come into that world.
So you're, you know, before I'm sorry to cut you off, but just so you're saying that everything that Lorenz Dean brought up about you, he had said about Brian XO and House of Glory at separate occasions to you.
Yeah. He told me that he ran a show and he gave Brian XO all the envelopes and Brian pocketed the money and told the boys that the gate was light. I don't know if that's true or not because I wasn't there, but he, you know, he was upset with that, and that's why Quiet Storm quit and all these guys never wanted to come back, like Jay Lethal. And I mean, they never came back after that. So, I mean, I assumed it at face value. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's true and what's not true with them because, let's face it, they're both kind of liars about a lot of things. So, me and Lorenz Dean, we kind of bonded, and he was like, hey, why don't we, you know, start our own wrestling promotion? I was like, cool. So me and my friends were like, you know, bring a name. So we came up with Tier 1 Wrestling, and Lorenz Dean loved it. So he orders the ring, he ordered the bell, and I was like, wow, this guy is, you know, he's not playing. He had everything delivered to my house. And I was like, wow, where the hell am I supposed to store a 16 by 16 ring? All right, screw it. I'll just put it in my hallway. No problem. Yeah, so it was delivered to my house. Mm-hmm. It's still in my house, like, you know, over 2 years later. Taking up just a lot of room. And, you know, I never once thought to charge him for any storage. When he got evicted from his apartment, if he could store stuff in my basement, and to this day, I still have chairs, I have his Nerf gun, I have a shit ton of bags and boxes that I've never gone through out of respect, because they're not my property.
Yeah.
But, you know, how do we go from being partners to what happened now, where he's just, you know, shitting all over me for no reason? But, you know, he's the kind of guy that he listens to the wrong people and he wants to be friends with everybody. So, you know, if they say, hey, fuck Dennis Long, he's going to say, fuck Dennis Long. There's no loyalty in wrestling like that. Okay. So we year one, and the very first show, Luke Hawks wins the championship, and Lorenz Dean is in the locker room during intermission. He's like, hey, after the main event, I want to go out there and interview Luke Hawks, and I want to punch him because I'm the world's greatest interviewer, and I'm the world's greatest boxer and promoter and all this other stuff. I was like, no, man, like, we don't get involved. We're just backstage guys. We don't need to be seen. We don't need to be heard. We just backstage. That's it.
Yeah.
So he kind of felt the same way about that. And then on the second show, we were building up Rude Boy Riley. And he wanted to do this thing. After Riley, you know, went to confront Luke Hawks, he was going to punch Riley. And I was like, no, we're not going to get involved in any storylines. We're just going to be, owners. Like, we're not going to mess it up. Like, a lot of other promoters want to get involved in all the storylines and wrestle. I wanted none of that. Like, I don't want to get involved in anything. I don't want to be seen on camera. Mm. So he had such a hard-on for wanting to get himself over and not the product. So we had one show, and it was in Long Island. I think it was the third show, and he was like, hey, I can't travel all the way out there. I don't have a ride. Can you get me a ride? I was like, well, if you could come to my house at a certain time, I could get you a ride with me. And we waited for like an hour after we were supposed to leave, and he never showed up. Then he gave me some bullshit excuse as to why he was running late. And I was like, don't worry, man, I got it. And that was probably the worst show that we had. It was in Long Island. It was like away from where we were building Tier 1. And it kind of like, you know, kicked the momentum away. And it was a risk to, you know, not run in Brooklyn at Queens, but we couldn't find a venue in December because everybody was having holiday parties. So after the show, him and I spoke, and, you know, he was like, all right, cool. You know, let's take a little break and let's focus on next year. And I was like, absolutely. So all of a sudden, you know, we booked the next show, and he becomes very absent. Like, I was going to his job to talk to, like, book shows with him on his break. And, like, more and more, he was always like, oh, hey, I'm busy. Oh, hey, I'm busy. You just book it your way. That was it. Like, well, he went his way, I went my way. Mm-hmm. I had no hard feelings about that.
Yeah.
But the problem is, you know, as a partner, and you're supposed to put money in, he didn't put money in, and I had to borrow money from one of my friends to help pay for the show, and Frank said that he was going to pay him back, and he never did, and I paid the guy back. So there was always that animosity, like, hey, we're supposed to be 50-50 partners, and kind of left me high and dry.
So all the things he says, like, in that video, like, you still owe him money for the Tier 1 title and all that stuff's all fabricated?
He never asked for it back. The day he made that video, mm-hmm. he called me early saying he would go through some stuff in the basement and pick it up. And I was like, all right, cool. So I made time, and he was supposed to come over, and I called him. I was like, hey, man, where are you at? Mm-hmm. He never came over. So, you know, I went to go lay down for a nap, and all of a sudden my phone started blowing up about him making a video on me.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I called him the next day, and I left him a message like, hey, man, if you want to bring in everything back, all you got to do is ask me. But he never picked up the phone. Like, to this day, he never once communicated with me about getting his stuff back. And I went to a lawyer, and pretty much it's considered abandoned property. It's been at my house for so long, he's never voluntarily tried to get it, so yeah. It's mine, I guess.
So you go ahead.
No, that's it for that.
So I have to ask this: what's the future of Tier 1? What's next for you guys?
I don't know, man. Like, I just had my first kid,
uh-huh.
and what, running a wrestling show, like, you get a certain high from it.
Sure.
Have all the shows combined together. You know, having my first kid is, like, the most amazing thing in the world. And Tier 1 is legit on the back burner. Like, my daughter is not even 2 months old. And just, like, watching her grow within 2 months is, like, better than anything I've ever done wrestling-wise. So, you know, I'm just going to, you know, take a step back and enjoy life and not have to deal with, you know, talent hitting me up for bookings. I legit just want to take a time out. I've been running for a little over 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to enjoy life right now. Will Tier 1 be back? Absolutely. But for now, I want to spend time with my family.
Okay. Just to backtrack a little bit, because you said a name before, and I wanted to hear your thoughts on how all that stuff went down. You mentioned Rude Boy Riley before, and how do you think his altercation with the law affected the indie scene in New York?
It was terrible. Like, so I was laying down. I worked a night shift, so I was sleeping. My phone rings like around 11:45.
What do you do, if you don't mind me asking? Like, what do you do for a living away from wrestling?
I work at UPS, the health benefits and everything. It's good for me and my family, cool. so I just stick with it.
It's all good. Okay.
So I get a phone call like 11:45 in the morning talking about, hey, do you have anything to say about Rude Boy Riley? And I was like, about what? Because it's WrestleMania weekend.
Sure.
And he wasn't my champion anymore, so I was just like, I don't know. I don't have anything to say. Like, what do you need to quote about? And they're like, he got arrested. And I was like, give me 5 minutes, call me back. So as soon as I hung up, Troy B from Warriors Wrestling called me up, and he was like, Dennis, this is so fucked up. Did you hear what happened? I'm like, no, man. Like, I legit just woke up 3 minutes ago. So I go online. For some reason, the first thing in my head was, it's one of those fake websites.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't. But just like, wow, it's really weird. Like, kiddie porn. Wow, like you think you know somebody, but you really don't. So, the first thing I did was, you know, publicly fire him, then Jill followed suit, then Battle Club followed suit, then I pretty much think everybody else followed suit. And it was really weird. Like, it was a stiff blow. And, like, you know, everything that I had to do with Tier 1 was, like, you know, companies running against us, companies trying to get other promotions to pull their students and then this. It was just like, man, it was blow after blow after blow. But, hey, at least Riley wasn't champion at the time, because would have pretty much crippled Tier 1. And what's crazy is in December, Riley lost the title to Sonny Kiss, who lost it to Darius Carter. And the next day, Riley lost the belt to Warriors of Wrestling as well. So he wasn't holding in the championships at the time, which really could have been critical to both companies.
Do you think that possibly, like, played a role in some other guys getting pushes that might not have been ready? Or, like, do you think it was a positive thing in the long run? Or, you know?
Yeah, because he was a top baby face.
Yeah.
And now he was a top baby face in New York. And now if you look at it, Mike Verna took that spot over, and he had the ball, and he's going with it.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Now he's getting booked at Beyond. He's going to the West Coast. He's going to Italy next year, I think. Like, Verna's the man right now, and he was a former Tier 1 champion, and, like, I have so much respect for his work ethic. Like, he's a guy that gets it. And, you know, he's a student of the SATs, and they have such a bad reputation, and it's so weird because Mike Verna is, like, legit the nicest guy in the world. Like,
yeah, he's a very nice guy.
I've never heard anybody say a single bad thing about this guy. Like, he's a very likable guy.
So speaking of reputations, why do you think you're so polarizing? Why do you think people feel the way that they do about you? You know, when I go to shows, I hear the chatter. You know, I'm just there as a journalist, and I hear the chatter. Why do you think people feel the way they do about you? What is it about you?
Everybody's your friend until you don't have a spot for them on a show. And, you know, that's something I learned in the business from Homicide. And, you know, when Tier 1 first started, I wanted to use, like, the best up-and-coming guys from the New York area. But the thing is, most of them aren't that good. And I really hate to say it that way. And I guess, you know, I'll name names. Like, guys like Joey Ace, I thought the world of, and he's very generic. Like, he's a salty dog. He doesn't know if he's a good guy. He doesn't know if he's a bad guy. He has no character. He has no direction. I would ask him for a promo, and he would get something completely off the wall. Then he would, you know, book himself in, like, a number one contendership match on a promo, and, you know, these guys can't follow direction. And it was very, it was absurd to me. So, like, little by little, you know, we had to start bringing guys in from different areas, because the New York guys wouldn't follow direction. I guess, you know, there's bitterness because, you know, they were getting booked one day and now they're not. I don't know, man. Like, when I left House of Glory and Tier 1 first started, I had all of them hating me. And because of that, I had Earl Cooter hating me and then all of his students. And then his students would tell other people. And it was just like, you know, the word of mouth went out. There was lies that got piled up on top of more lies on top of more lies. And I was always told to no-sell the bullshit. So I no-sold it for a long-ass time. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, I don't care about people's opinion of me because I know I'm a good person. So they could go fuck themselves.
So one of the big things going around, especially in the Dean video, was he said that you guys made anywhere from like 15 to 20 fake Facebook profiles to like kind of spread the word on Tier 1. Is there any validity in that?
Well, he had an account called James Devine. Mm-hmm. And that was where he was going to make these anonymous type videos. And he was going to, like, you know, shit on different things in New York. And he wanted to, like, really crap on House of Glory, but do it anonymously. And I was like, that makes no sense to do that. So did I have access to adding people on a profile and sending invites to Tier 1? Yes. But if you look at the grammar that was written on the profiles, that was all Frank. That was all Arrestian. Like, I didn't need to stoop that low. Was that page an admin for Tier 1? Yes. Did I log into it? Yes.
Okay.
But, I mean, if you look into there, I even sent the account a message saying, hey, you're supposed to be a backup account. Why are you talking shit online? So if I were running the account, why would I send that to the account?
Yeah.
Like, it makes no sense. That was just one of those, oh, Dennis Long is a bad guy. He's making fake accounts, you know, to stir shit up. But who the fuck has that much time in their lives to do that?
Because in the interview that I had done with Earl claimed that you had created several fake accounts and messaged Gabe to try and like put a stop to his run in China. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm pretty sure Cooter flew himself out to China on his own dime for an opportunity, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I had nothing against Cooter at the time. But ironically enough, he told me that that was Edwin Crespo, formerly known as Buffy from Ring of Honor, that sent Gabe a message and not me. So his story's kind of misconstrued there because now he's blaming me, but he was blaming Edwin.
I gotcha.
So, Cooter hated me from the very beginning. When I left House of Glory, he hit me up, oh, hey, bro, how come you never wanted to help book for FTW? And I just laughed it off because, legit, FTW is stock of New York. Besides Jack Gallo and Grim Briefer, I can't say enough good things about him. He's one hell of a trainer. He legit gets it. But nobody ever made it from FTW. And like, you know, Cooter has four schools. Like, how the fuck do you have four schools if you've never made it and none of your students ever made it? He's trying to hold the claim to fame because UIFBO made it to TNA, but UIFBO was training under that school for like a cup of coffee, and that's about it. Like 2KW in the parks in New Jersey did more for UIFBO's career than Cooter ever did.
Yeah. Okay. Another thing, Bad Wrestlers Exposed. Everybody wants to know how much of a part in Bad Wrestlers Exposed does Dennis Long have, or did he have, or was he never involved in Bad Wrestlers Exposed?
I was never involved in Bad Wrestlers Exposed. There was one time when I sent something in, and instantly I regretted it.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, Bad Wrestlers Exposed has been around before I was even in the business. And even with me off of Facebook now for about a month, it's still around.
Sure.
Bad Wrestlers Exposed has always been around. So I get associated with it. Why? Because Chris Ruiz and I were buddies, and all of a sudden he started working with Battle Club, and he was on there. So I guess the easy thing to do is point the finger at me. But I have nothing but love for Chris Ruiz. Like, he helped me out a lot. And again, like, Brian XL brought me into the business, so I brought Chris Ruiz into the business. Like, I wanted to open that door for him. I would never put his wife, fiance, you know, whatever Lily is, I would never put her on there because she's a wonderful person.
Because a lot of people felt like the rumors that I had heard after the whole Darius Pete Dunne incident in August, that if Bad Wrestlers Exposed was going to focus on anybody, it obviously would have been Darius, considering how Twitter went nuts on him, and Bad Wrestlers Exposed didn't do anything with Darius. And then Peter Romanowski, who runs another promotion, talked nonsense about Darius, and he was the mark of the week or the mark of the day on that page. And the two people that are consistently linked to Bad Wrestlers Exposed, you and Joe Bellini, are big fans of Darius Carter. Is that just a coincidence? Like, how does that work out?
I guess it's just all coincidence. I mean, when all things Darius happened, like, I was the only one to, like, really stand up and defend him. Everybody was shitting on him. Even some of his closest people were shitting on him to other promoters just to take his spot away so they could get it. Wrestling is fickle, man. Like,
oh, sure.
I asked Joey flat out if he had any part of that Wrestling Exposed. He told me no. Joe Bellini has never once lied to me. He's the only promoter that's helped me from the beginning until currently. Like, he's been the most helpful resource to me. And I take his word as face value. If he says he's not a part of it, then he's not a part of it.
Yeah.
I could myself, without a doubt, I have zero to do with that thing. Last time I sent something in was probably late 2015, early 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't mention what it was for, but yes, I submitted
something. Yeah, like, what do you mean submitted content? Like, you messaged it to, like, the admin or something like that? Like, to the page?
Yeah, that's what people do. They just submit things, and if it gets posted, it gets posted.
I gotcha.
But I submitted something, and it got posted, and that was it. Then I instantly felt bad. I put this person on blast. But that's as far as I go with that.
Let's see. Another person, Jay George. He made a video. How did that? You want to discuss, like, your part in that and how you feel about that?
I already discussed the Jay George thing. So here's the thing. I'd give him a second chance. He can't follow directions. He's one of the dork guys I got an opportunity to. So I give him a second chance. I heard only favor that he had a great match with Grimes. Simon Gotch from WWE, or he's in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So a few fans hit me up. I was like, all right, cool. Give him a storyline with, get him back into the Zinc Federated. I'm going to have him face Mixed Race. So I told Jay George, hey, man, we're gonna bring you back. You're going to go over. I was talking to my partner. He's like, are you going to have Mick lose when he's one that impressed you the most out of all the new guys? You're going to have him lose to a guy that's giving you a second chance. Have George lose and see how he reacts. And then they'll have Jay George get his revenge on the next show, and then going forward, depending on how he is, when we get the secondary title, you know, we'll go that route.
Sure.
And I was like, man, that makes absolute sense. So Mick shows up. I was like, hey, change of plans. You're going up tonight. And me and Mick, you know, there's why. We're friends outside of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, just because of our friendship, or just a business decision. I was like, it's always a business decision. Like, I have separated the two. You're a professional, I'm a professional.
Yeah.
So I told everybody get there around, 4 or 5 o'clock. If you wanted to help set up, that's cool, but it's not mandatory. Jay George shows up at 6:30. Like, you know, if you tell people to show up at a certain time to be able to go over stuff, you know, yeah, granted, there could be traffic, but you have to know in advance, like, leave your house early, be a professional, be on time. So I was like, hey, man, change of plan. Mick is going up. And instantly, he's, like, sighing and pulling his eyes and just, like, you know, leaning against the wall. And he's like, yeah, okay. So I told him the fifth, like, there's going to be outside interference. Mick is going to do his thing. And he's just like, okay, cool. So I was like, all right, you guys go over the match, and then I'll come back to you later on because I go over each match individually.
Uh-huh.
So I went up to him. I was like, okay, is everything good? Mick, Mike, Nick, Elliot. Everybody's like, yeah, man, we're good. Cool. So I don't have to go over the match with you guys. You guys know the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So Jay George apparently gets hit with the finisher, sells it like Shawn Michaels selling for Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam, you know, rolling outside the ring, running the corner way around the ring, taking a bump outside. And Mick just, Mick threw him in the ring, gave him a few shots, pinned him. George sells everything. Kicks a chair, slams a chair on the floor, pops the garbage can across the venue, just like having a temper tantrum like a kid. You know, he was just like in a locker room. He got changed outside on the sidewalk.
Wow.
So, you know, he wants to make all these accusations about me, but
You know, I had Tom Fuller from UFC come in, lose, have no problem with it, and on a car ride, drop him off at the subway so it could get up to Beyond. And he was just like, what the fuck was going on? He's like, sure, wrestling's predetermined, but what the fuck? He's like, I come from, like, legit fighting, and I keep wrestling, making my debut in New York, and I lose. And, you know, I don't do that. And I'm a legit badass and can fuck up half the locker room. I was like, that's just, you know, dealing with professionals and dealing with unprofessionals. So, yeah, Jay Doherty is very unprofessional. He's very selfish. You know, what he did was bad in front of the fans. It was bad, you know. Yeah, I messaged the owner of Freelance Wrestling, and I was like, man, why are you booking this guy? Like, he's bad for business. I'll openly say that.
You don't think that was, like, I don't know. You don't think that that was perhaps going over the line a little bit, like affecting somebody's paycheck away from your company?
Well, if he doesn't take wrestling seriously, it's a hobby. Because let's fix it, Jay George is never going to make it anywhere in the wrestling world. He's entertaining, but like his ring work isn't that good. Like, it's just, I don't know. I'm not going to talk shit for the sake of talking shit, but he's not going to be one of the guys that make it. And after everything that he said, yeah, man, like, he crossed the line making a 45-minute video of me while he was stoned. So, yeah, I'm going to message a promoter and tell him not to book him.
Okay, understood. Absolutely. Okay, last question from me. Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, you said the first 2 months have been great of fatherhood. I agree. The first 2 months of my fatherhood were amazing. I didn't even want to go to work. I loved it. Another 5 or 6 months go by, and you're just, like, so in love with, like, this new life. And Tier 1 doesn't come back. How do you want your run in indie wrestling, and how do you want Tier 1 remembered by people?
I'm a guy that gave a lot of people a lot of opportunities. I helped get Rude Boy Riley booked in the UK. I helped push for MJF to get booked in the UK. I got Darius booked in the UK. I'm trying to get Mick booked in the UK. I was trying to get Kyle the Beast booked in the UK. All I try to do is give respect to guys that gave me respect and try to give other opportunities to them. So my thing is, like, I just want guys that have worked with me and that have done life for me bigger and better opportunities. I don't care to be remembered. I don't care if Tier 1's remembered. Like, it was just about having fun. It was more so by a fan for the fans. And that's about it. Like, it was supposed to be fun. And a lot of guys took the fun out of it. And they just, you know, they made the locker room very tense and you know, all the bullshit. Yeah. But, like, I went to, not Battle Club, this last show, but the one with Pete Dunne. And this is the whole thing with Jay George. But the thing is, you know, in wrestling, he goes to the locker room, you take everyone's hand. So I go to shake Jay George's hand. He's like, oh, I'm not going to shake your fucking hand. You got Logan Mack standing in the corner, like, making eye contact, like, shaking his head. Like, you know, you don't have to get along, but follow the cardinal rule. Shake hands. Be a professional.
But was this after you called that promoter, though, and he knew about it?
No, it wasn't after that.
Okay.
It was before. And that's what added on speaking me texting him.
I gotcha.
Because it's like, how are you going to be so disrespectful, man? Like, you don't have to get along, but you have to shake hands. Like that. Mm-hmm. God, Homicide told me that so many times. Like, always be the bigger person. Always shake hands.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for this guy to think that his shit don't stink and he could do that is just astonishing to me. And then he bragged about how he got booked at Battle Club, you know, despite my efforts. All he did was sing during intermission. So, like, you main evented intermission. Good job.
So to go back to Tier 1, you said, like, you don't care if it was remembered. It was a fun time that kind of got a little toxic at the end. Is that kind of like where you're at?
Yeah, like, I just, you know, I love spending time with my family now. Like, I don't have to deal with the wrestlers. Like, I'm friends with Mick Drake, Mike Orlando, Sonny Kiss, Darius Carter. Like, we speak all the time, and just those friendships mean the world to me. Especially Sonny, man. Like, he was the backyard guy when I first booked him. He was the only wrestler to tell me no, that he didn't want to get booked by me because he didn't know who I was at first.
Mm-hmm.
And man, like, I saw one video of Sonny, and I was like, man, this guy is fucking awesome. I have to book him. And after the first show, like, he was so nervous wrestling Gran Akuma, like, he was tweaking, and he was like, oh, my God, I did such a bad match, you know, I suck. And I hugged him. I was like, man, you're fucking amazing. Like, I don't care. Like, as a quality human being, like, that's what I gravitate towards. If you're a quality human being, like, I'll book you regardless. Everybody hates Darius Carter. You know, when I first wanted to book him, I had so many guys, like, so many of his friends that shared the locker room with him were like, oh, keep him on a short leash. He can't be trusted. He politics for a spot. Darius never wants politics to face his name. He never wants politics to win a championship. When it was time for him to lose the belt in, like, 15 seconds, he didn't complain at all. Like, Darius Carter is a true professional that's so underrated by rumors and reputation and speculation. And it's sad because there's so much jealousy in wrestling. Like, you know, Cooter hates me, right? The promoter for Oakley and Wrestling, Cooter wants to see it. He's faking down. Earl Cooter, Brian Cash, Brian Idol. And he's messaging the promoter like, oh, hey, this is a different gimmick, brother. And he kept like harassing this guy like nonstop. And that's why the guy came to me. He was like, hey, I want to run a show in New York. What can I do? I was like, dude, just run a show in New York. Book one of my guys.
Yeah.
After Riley was booked. When Riley got arrested, Cooter was like, oh, go figure, Dennis guy. When Darius Carter, you know, bloodied up Pete Dunne, oh, go figure, Dennis Long guy. Like, he's had a hard time from the very beginning. Like, he's legit a piece of shit. We booked champion Jack Gallows and champion versus champion match. And, you know, I'm not going to bury another guy's champion. So we had to be like a smash finish. Like, it was a double DQ or whatever. Just out of respect for the promoted championship.
Yeah.
Never did I get a thank you for that. Like, you know, we try to do something good for the business. And all he wants to do is reflect on a negative from day one. Tier 1's first show, House of Lord and FTW did a joint show. And they ran against Tier 1. They tried to message all the guys that I had booked. Oh, hey, no show. Do our battle royal. Mike Orlando was supposed to be there. And they were like, oh, it's, you know, go off for the battle royal. They didn't even ask him what his name was. And he was just like, oh, I'm not going to do it. And, you know, Mike is a good guy. Like, he's a Dennis guy. And now he's booked at FTW with Cooter. He just wrestled Cooter. And I haven't seen that Mike Orlando match in a long time, and that was one of them. You know, Cooter's wanted to fight me for a long time, but every time I see him, like, face-to-face, he's, like, at the floor. There's no eye contact. He makes excuses like, oh, hey, get to your house here. So I told him, I was like, hey, if you want to handle this like men, go to the Ridgewood School. It's like minutes from my house. You know, we could talk, we could fight, whatever you want to do, but let's settle this because it's getting tiresome. And nothing. So, it's, you know, the second show Tier 1 had, House of Glory had a Pro Wrestling Syndicate pulled Dan Moff. What's the other guy's name? Falaba off the card. You know, it was just Anthony Bowen as well. You know, it's so much bullshit wrestling, man. Like, I fucking hate it. Like, you know, everything's like territorial. Like, oh, hey, you were never in the business. You were never a wrestler. You don't belong. Well, fuck, man. Look at Wrestle's Laboratory. Chris wasn't a wrestler. He's running his promotion. Carlos is a fan. He's running a show. He wasn't a wrestler. Like, let's talk about when Carlos was a cameraman at the House of Glory when I brought him back. And Brian was like, hey, if I'll do three shows for free, we'll pay him on a fourth show. And then after the third show, they're like, oh, hey, your quality was bad. We can't use you anymore. You're fired. Just use it for three shows to film the product. And then they put the show on YouTube, the same as they did any other show, and the quality was perfectly fine.
Yeah, Carlos does like, good work.
Wrestling is so cutthroat.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, man. My legacy is helping out guys. Like, you know, when Carlos wanted to start Battle Club, sure, man, use my license, man. You have my ring. I'm not going to charge you anything. You're my boy. You've helped me.
This, oh, you know what? You just brought up another thing. I completely forgot I wanted to ask you. the low-key incident, when low-key had worked Tier 1 and he had complained about the quality of the ring. He said that it smelled as of cat urine. Is that true?
I have no idea when he said that. I know the ring was not set up correctly.
Uh-huh.
Like, the co-promoter, Javier, he was supposed to be there earlier, but the doors weren't open, so everything was done haphazardly. Like, that was a rough show because I was up for over 24 hours, like, you know, putting stuff together. It was me, one of the fans, Nicholas, he helped me out. Mike Verna helped me out 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, it was ridiculous, man. I don't know if he said it smelled like cat pee or whatever, but I know the ring quality wasn't there. Like, the canvas wasn't tied down correctly, which really messed up a lot of stuff. So, yeah, the ring not being set up, that's, I guess, it's on me and Javier. But, you know, Javier, at the same time, you know, had the venue turn off the air conditioning so he could sell $3 bottle of water. So,
wow.
But I don't know, man.
Okay. Is there anything else that you wanna add about you that you haven't been able to say yet in an interview? I mean, because you don't do a lot of these. So if there's anything else that you want to say, you have an open forum.
No, I never want to be heard. Like, you know, anytime someone's like, "Hey, you want to do a podcast?" I would have to do it for me when he was a part of Tier 1 or, you know, one of the wrestlers to do it, but to promote himself. I never wanted to promote myself. Right now, I have nothing to promote. I'm a dad. For the first time in, you know, I'm 36 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a dad, and I'm happy living life. I always wanted to be in wrestling. I never needed to be in wrestling. So I'm just happy for the time that I had in the profession.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, once Jordan comes back, I'll be just as happy, hopefully. You know, less gray hair is less stress. But I hope the New York wrestling scene always improves. That was my goal, to make the New York scene improve. And, you know, I think it has. You know, when Tier 1 came around, everybody stepped up their game, and that's what I wanted. But now it's become very oversaturated, and the Athletic Commission makes it almost impossible to run here with their new rules and regulations all the time. They're adding bullshit for us to go through. It's like hurdles, more and more.
So you're kind of happy that you don't have to deal with any of that for a while?
Yeah, man. Like, I was looking to come in Jersey for a September show with Pro Wrestling Magic, which is another outstanding promotion run by great people.
Yeah.
And, yeah, man, like, to go in New Jersey was a breath of fresh air, but I can't show around the time my girlfriend has a D-Day. So I was like, wow, I've never canceled a show before, but what a better time now. And, mm-hmm. You know, just to give birth at a time now, like a week later. But still, man, like, I don't like to leave the house now. Like, I don't want to leave my daughter. I didn't want to leave my girlfriend back then. You know, my legacy is just, I hope that New York wrestling stays as it is, and hopefully the Athletic Commission could kind of back off a little bit and let people have fun. As for plugs, go support Warriors of Wrestling. Go support Battle Club. Go support Wrestler's Laboratory. Go support House of Glory. Go support Pro Wrestling Magic, Violence Suffering Wrestling. Wrestle Pro. Like, support the quality wrestling. Fuck FTW and fuck Earl Cooter.